Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Are you interested in angels, demons, ghosts, spirits, and monsters? Are you curious about their origins, influence, and how to protect against the unknown? If so, then welcome to Southern Demonology, the podcast that explores all of this and more.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Well, hello.
And welcome back to Southern Demonology. This is, as always, JJ. And once again, we are joined by Father Michael Birdsong and his son, Deacon Josh, who at this point is the most invited back guest I have ever had on the podcast, which I am tickled to death about. How are y'all doing today?
Oh, we're doing great, and it's my pleasure. I think it's tickled that I was able to come back. So I think we're kind of both on the same wavelength there.
Well, I feel blessed, and I really appreciate y'all joining to do this. Today, we're going to be talking about a few different topics, which I've covered a portion before. We have all together talked about a portion. In fact, it was in last season where in the last of the two-part episodes, this was actually the season finale of season 3, where we talked about the case of Paula. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So we're going to get kind of a update as to what happened, and then we are going to launch into more than likely a spoiler-filled conversation about the movie Nefarious, which I also covered at the end of season 3. And in fact, if y'all did listen to that episode number 13, then you'll know that it was actually Father Birdsong that suggested that I watch this movie, which was off my radar at that point. So I owe major thanks to you, because that was truly the best movie about demonic possession that I have ever seen.
Right. I have to say it was mine too. We can get into that as the conversation leads, though.
Exactly. And in case y'all did not know, both Father Birdsong and Deacon Josh are regulars on the other podcast that I do, that I'm a part of, and they are now as well as permanent members, and that is the Paranormal Rundown. It releases now twice a month. It used to be just once a month, and there we cover over 1,600 different topics in rapid-fire session, and with the occasional guest, sometimes it's just us. But we have a phenomenal time with that. And if you have not listened, highly urge you to do so. Much more of a longer format show than what this one is. But with the amount of banter that we have, I think that you can really feel the camaraderie between us. And you get, to me, it's always been, I think Victor has always said it, it's lightning in a bottle. And I completely agree with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just such a good time. And I think that our joy comes across, and hopefully you feel the same level of joy listening to it. How have you found being on the Rundown, Father Birdsong?
Uh, I want to say it all started maybe a couple of years ago when Josh became a member of your Discord, and he kept talking to me about it. You need to get in this group, and you need to join in. And I said, why, Josh? And he said, well, you'll just like the conversations. So finally, one night, he drug me into his room. Very unwillingly, I sat and listened to a podcast. And then I said, okay, I like that. And then I think you actually invited him to discuss one of our cases.
Yep, sure did.
I believe that's how it all started, because when I heard the episode that Josh did with you, I think that's when I reached out to you and said, here's some things that were not talked about. And so I think then I was invited along with Josh, and it just kicked off from there. I believe that's right.
No, you got it exactly. And how have you enjoyed being one of the crew of the Rundown?
Oh, it's phenomenal to me. I it's amazing to me that when we start an episode or any kind of discussion, 2 hours passes by in like 5 minutes, it seems like to me.
Yes, it does.
So, I mean, I really enjoy it, but you said a key word, camaraderie, and I really feel that as well. So I believe it's a great group of guys. I think we all have one common goal. I think we're going to grow from there. But to me personally, of who I am and my background, I'm glad to see that all the podcasts are safe places. And when I mean safe places, I mean, we don't bash somebody else for their idea of something. We may not agree Absolutely. With them. We may not agree with whomever we're talking with, but we can agree to disagree, and everybody shares what I call their golden nugget, and we get the point made.
Completely agree with that. Now, we not only do we try to approach any topic that either we are discussing or that someone else brings to us with a completely open mind, but we do not thrive on negativity. We mm-hmm. don't thrive on hatred. Mm-hmm. We really cherish every guest we've ever had and each other. And I think that's just a wonderful thing. In fact, the one thing that I am so proud of Southern Demonology about, it's not the money, which has been actually non-existent. In fact, Southern Demonology, podcasting in general, it's more of a expensive hobby masquerading as a second job.
There you go.
I sink more money into this than I have ever seen or probably will ever see. However, the money's not important. And the one thing that I never really envisioned when I started this venture 7 years ago is the level of connections that I have made with people in the Discord, with other podcasters. And we've kind of created this unified framework where, you know, I've been able to meet you, been able to meet Josh, Vic, David, and most recently, Chris and Dean from The Wandering Road. And we've kind of all formed this giant conglomerate. And it's just, it's been amazing to be able to witness and experience that.
I agree. Very much so.
So rather than talking about another podcast, let's get back into this one here.
There you go.
When we talked last, you had mentioned about a particular case that had been the most difficult of ones that you have ever experienced. And you gave the individual the code name of Paula in order to help protect her privacy, which we always take extremely seriously. What has happened since the last time that we have talked?
Well, this is a very hard topic for me today, because we all want things to happen. End happy with rainbows and unicorns and live in a fairy tale world for the rest of our lives and everything's going to be okay. But that's unfortunately at times that is not the case.
Well, especially in this particular case, because you're dealing with a soul with another human's life, and you always want the best for every other person that's involved in the situation. So, yeah, continue, please.
No, I totally agree with what you just said, because although in Hollywood there's always a glimmer of truth to any exorcist movie, it may be a crap movie, but there's always a glimmer of truth in there somewhere. And being an exorcist, it is not a glamorous thing. And see, that's the first and foremost thing that everybody needs to understand. And because we are dealing with a soul of a person, and any priest or exorcist or deliverance worker, if they want to call themselves that, it's not the action that they're doing. They need to understand that they are caring about a person's soul and saying, not today, not on my watch, I'm not going to let the enemy have it. And secondly, it's not about the exorcist, it's about Christ. And deliverance. So I totally agree with what you just said. But the case is I'm not going to say it's over, okay, because the door is always going to be open. I don't give up, but there has to be some things that need to be done before you can help anyone. You know what I mean? Let me remind you of in the Gospels that, do you remember when the disciples went out and Christ gave them authority to heal the sick and do the work of the ministry? And they came back and said that even they had authority over the demons, okay? But then something happened, and I forgot which two it was, but they had a hard time. They couldn't drive the demons out of a demoniac. And they questioned Christ on that. And Christ said, and see, sometimes I think this scripture is only taken one way, but Christ said, these only come by prayer and fasting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, the person in the office, you know, they do need to take time to take care of themselves emotionally and spiritually. I'm all for that. There's sometimes that you need to spend some serious time in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and as well fasting. But
yeah, because the priest is the ultimate attack surface,
yes,
for whatever invading host is there. Let me ask you this before we go any further, because I'm really curious about this. What personal attacks, whether it be physical or spiritual or mental, have you experienced in as your role as an exorcist?
Yes. Personal, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, you name it, I've been attacked. I mean, even attacked physically one time by I bet this person didn't weigh but 120 pounds. And took me down like a football player.
Mm.
And as you can tell now that we got video, I'm not a little boy either. I mean, I'm glad that's the point where I'm glad Josh was there, because he was there to help in that matter. We've had people curse us, not just me, but my family. We've had very emotional battles while being in the midst of a session, not in the midst of a session itself, but during a time period where sessions were going on. We were biting each other's throats and fussing and arguing and carrying on. And finally it hit us. I said, whoa, wait a minute. We normally don't do this.
Hmm.
So I had to stop and back up for a minute and say, you know, the enemy's trying to attack us emotionally where we can't do the work of the kingdom. And so that took care of that real quick, and it will open your eye to some things.
Yeah, because, I mean, that brings up a really good point. It's not only you but it's also any assistant that you've had in that process that they are also opened up. I know in Father Malachi's Hostage to the Devil.
Oh, yeah.
He warns that anyone in that room is likely to have slanderous things thrown at them, to ignore anything a demon says, and to never engage in conversation with the demon itself.
I agree with that. I agree. But back to the case, I did say that this was the hardest one that I've ever dealt with. There hasn't been a lot of Hollywood drama in it, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's been more mentally and emotionally as well as spiritually. But back to the pressing prayer and fasting quote, there's times that we're dealing with cases where possession is taking place, but there's moments where the person affected can have a time of clarity, right? You can't say that this person was perfectly possessed,
right?
Because she could still carry on a conversation, she could still be cognitive, but then she just disappears after a session, and then goes back home, and then all hell breaks loose again because she's not doing what she was told to do. So, but the prayer and fasting part, I believe that it also comes on the person that is affected. They have to, if they are cognitive enough to carry on an intelligent conversation with you, it all boils down to their attitude of being willing to let go of things. Does that make sense to you?
It does, yeah.
And so that discipline, it may not be prayer and fasting per se on their part, but that's just something that hit me that they have a part too, because they're still acting under a free will.
If they fall back into the hole, then unless they're willing to climb right back out of it again, there's not a whole lot you can do to wrench them from it, I would imagine.
That's 100% correct. And so what this particular case boiled down to is she was so affected by the possessing spirit or spirits, and I believe we talked about some of them before, especially with Lilith. But you have to be willing to submit yourself to spiritual authority. If I ask you, do you want to be free? And you tell me yes, well, then you need to submit yourself to that authority and start taking responsibility on your side of the coin and doing some things that you need to be doing. I think Dave and I had a conversation about this as well. She had a bag of dolls that she, like little stuffed dolls that she carried around everywhere with her. Those were her quote unquote friends. Now, does that not raise a red flag to you?
It absolutely does. In fact, and not to go cross-cultural here,
no,
Ningyo are dolls in Japanese. They can often be viewed as substitutes for a human body and carry the same negative type of preternatural or supernatural attacks that anything else can. They can be the perfect substitute because of their human-like form. And in fact, their entire Shinto temples dedicated to eradicating and destroying these dolls in which happen to be under these types of nidoi or curses or tachidari, whichever type it is. But yeah, now dolls are freaky. And to hear someone who is suffering from this type of oppression to be carrying them around as friends, that just sends chills down my spine.
Well, not only were they her friends, she said that they were a part of her ministry tool. Now, remember that she got involved in this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm going to say Christian cultic activity of deliverance, not knowing what they were doing, and that's how she became affected.
Right.
But she said these dolls were her friends, and she even named them names of the people that she knew. And she would pray with the dolls. But see, here's one thing. It's kind of when you asked, have I been personally affected or my family? Well, she came to church one time, more than one time, because my wife was nice enough to go get her. And then she wouldn't come back anymore. But the whole time she would be there, she'd be very, very disrespectful. She couldn't stay too long around any holy object or anything. And she would wander outside and walk around the property with her dolls and stuff. And I had to tell one of my deacons, you need to go out there and get her and take care of business. She's causing a scene, and I'm not going to have it in here.
Yeah.
So that's number one about submitting to authority, any kind of spiritual authority she does not want to submit to. Because, well, the reason why is because she's become so comfortable with the demonic that they're her friends. And I try to tell her, your dolls are holding your demonic friends. But she even said that I got dolls for y'all and I pray for y'all. Ding, 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 ding. I said, okay, no wonder I'm having such physical pain.
Oh my God.
No wonder a weak spot in my body has just exasperated to times where I can't stand anymore. And so, yes, we can be affected. But when I told her that she had to get rid of those dolls, oh, buddy, she blew up. But then it was not her. It was the demonic inside of her speaking through her. I'm not getting rid of my dolls. Just went crazy. And so, but here's the point of the whole matter. You got to get rid of your idols. And if you got the conscious effort and you still got that little bit of free will, you got to make a decision to do it. If not, one of the biggest things that we got to understand, and I tell people this all the time, anything or any person that hinders your spiritual lifestyle away from God is a God to you, little G. And that's basically where she stands. She has become codependent on the demonic. And she is, I hate to say this, and like I said, I will not give up. The door is always open. She is a breath away from perfect possession, in my opinion. And unfortunately, right now there's nothing I can do.
The one thing that I'm not sure if people truly understand is that the infernal makes a deliberate mockery of the divine by imitating it. In fact, the key word in which they call themselves is the kingdom. Just like how you refer to everything from your church as the kingdom, so do they. And the fact that they can masquerade as something as profound as that, it is, you know, there's a dialectic between the divine and the mortal. there's an inverse dialectic between the infernal and the mortal as well. And there's a third overlapping one that goes between the divine and the infernal. Yeah, that it's heartbreaking to hear. But yeah, I mean, if she's unwilling to completely relinquish, it's kind of like Augustine saying, yeah, Lord, save me, but not yet.
Where the rubber finally met the road, per se, is at our very first session. Josh, correct me if I'm wrong. This went on about 3 months. Okay. I told her then, and I reminded her each time, you have to come here. Here being the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've told you all before, I'm a firm believer that if it can be done in the church, that's where it's going to be, you know, no questions asked.
Absolutely. I mean,
this is the way it's going to be. So where everything finally went downhill is she became very adamant that I come to her home. Now, once again, I told her from the beginning, we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it here. And then when you are free, then I'll come to the home and we'll bless right. the home. Well, she didn't want it that way. And she kept saying, why? I said, because I am not going to meet the enemy on his ground.
Exactly.
If I leave my kingdom, just like you said a while ago, to go to that kingdom, what did I just place myself into?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even bringing harm on myself maybe I might be defeated. But I gotta shepherd these other people with me too, and so I'm not going to encroach on the enemy's ground to become weak, because that's exactly what would happen.
Exactly.
And so that's why a lot of the I hate to say this word, JJ, but that's why a lot of the true demon possessions, they don't like the sacraments or the sacramentals of the church. Because of who it represents.
Correct.
So, yes, can God do anything outside of the church building? Yes, he can. But that's also the reason why, after every miracle that Christ performed with the lepers or the demoniacs, he said, "Now go show yourselves to the priest." Order once again. That's part of the reason why I thought Nefarious was so cool too, because he tried to get around that order many times. Mm. But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go down that rabbit hole. But if someone has the ability to have a normal discussion and make decisions about their life, they have the free will also to say, yes, I want this thing gone. And deep down, I don't think she does want it gone. I believe she's codependent on it. And unfortunately, like I said, I believe she's not only a hair away from perfect possession, but I believe she's even entering into the medical side of schizophrenia now.
As a reminder, can you go over why she initially reached out to you in the beginning?
Oh, yeah. She got involved many years ago, and she went to this church organization, and before she had any teaching, before she had any coaching per se, any great strong personal relationship with God, she wanted to be part of their deliverance team, and they let her, and. That's why I said in one of our earlier shows, if you grew up in the charismatic world in the 80s, and just because you read Pigs in a Parlor, it does not mean that you're now an exorcist and go cast out demons.
Right.
But she would go to these situations, and because of the way things were being done, it not only made things worse in that area for the people they were trying to minister to, but it started making things real bad even in her own life, because she was not ready. She was not prepared. She just wanted to be one of those cool people that can cast out demons.
Right.
And so she started having terrible, terrible nightmares. She started having very strange physical ailments. She became like a hoarder of all kind of objects, like the dolls for one thing. But the biggest thing is she started having terrible dreams, and she would actually hear these things speaking to her and telling her to do certain things that, of course, she knew was wrong, but she wound up yielding herself into the demonic. She opened that door and tried to take care of herself. Well, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, and so on and so forth. And then one day, one of her friends called out to me and said, can you meet with her? That's how it all began. We had several meetings. Of course, you know, I won't jump into things right away. I want to make sure that I'm dealing with possession and not mental illness at that time.
Right.
But the opening doors, and I know we talked about that many times in a lot of our shows, we keep going back to that idea, but that open door, if you're not spiritually apt to close that thing, you need to leave it shut in the first place.
Well, especially if she was participating in these deliverance teams with no training, no firm spiritual house in order. That's like casting a lamb into a lion's den.
Well, that's like one time I asked her, JJ, and I said, well, who's your pastor? It was dead silence. I looked at her friend. Where's she go to church? Where's her group of believers? Well, I don't have a pastor.
What? Well,
once again, refusal to submit to a spiritual authority. People want to go off and do their own thing. I don't mean to run down this road, but if the kingdom of God did not want order and order in our lives, well, then why in the world would he tell Moses to build the tabernacle of the meeting? Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's sad. I mean, like I said, I hope it's not the end. My family and our church, we pray for every Sunday. I pray for her daily, but I can't beat a dead horse to death if it's already dead.
Very true. Actually, speaking of opening doors, is there a reason why the door behind you keeps opening and closing?
My dog.
Okay. I was just making sure. I was like, that's a little freaky.
Well, it freaked me out a while ago because I saw it in the video and thought I heard something, and I turned this way, but my dog ran that way. And I said, I looked at Josh, what the hell's going on? Oh, Thor came in. I said, oh, okay. I thought that EVP was about to manifest itself over here in my house.
Yeah, speaking of that, you called an EVP in your own recordings. Is that correct?
Vic called it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and it was, I certainly can't explain it. It was a very chilling sound. Can't make it out what it says, but it did sound awfully close to Azazoff. Not that it was, because it was actually a hard swallow on the very last syllable, but
it was that last swallow that got me. I'm like, what was that?
In fact, I think this might work. Let me see if I can, if you don't mind, I can play this here.
Okay.
And it should come through, I believe. Let's see.
Grass is home. He's playing that thing.
Yeah, that last swallowed syllable was just eerie. Who knows what it was, but this is not the first time we've had strange EVPs pop up on any of our recordings, and now it seems to be a lot more prevalent. I haven't encountered it in SD yet, and I hope to goodness that I don't. So,
well, what you just played it through, it did sound like Azazel. But I want to say, listen to it one more time and see if, at the very beginning, if it doesn't have a R consonant sound, like Razazel.
Sure. One second.
Razazel.
It definitely sounds like an A to me.
A? Okay.
But I could be wrong because I can't make out if it is intelligible or not. So it's really anyone's guess. And I have no training when it comes to deciphering EVP from other people. So I won't even claim that I do.
Yeah, Josh, he's been working on it a lot today, forwards and backwards, slowing it down, trying to catch different parts of it. And anyway, it is strange.
Yeah, in fact, let's play the backwards version because we have that too. And the backwards version does seem to start with an R, but yeah, it gives me chills every time I listen to it. So I have no explanation.
I said, oh well. I said, I'll go to battle over the internet ways too now. Oh,
well, that is truly disheartening to hear, and I'm sorry to hear that the case did not have a better ending. And I know there's always hope for further down the road, but at least for now, it seems to at least come to an unsatisfactory and really undesired conclusion.
That's part of the reason why I think this last episode on that matter is so important. It's because the way our group is, we don't want to put on any airs. Mm. And I wanted the people to know I'm not trying to call myself I'm the true exorcist, because there's many just like me that knows more than I do. I'm not the smartest kid in the room, but we have foolish people out there that think they can run out and do something. And number one, they're going to get harmed. But also our listeners need to know, you know, sometimes it doesn't end well.
Mm.
Why? I don't know. But I do know in this particular case, it came down to order and authority. And you got to be willing to get rid of the idols in your life. Now, yes, there's cases out there where people have just about lost all their free will. But that's when friends and family are going to have to step in and ensure that things keep going.
Correct.
And unfortunately, throughout the year, she's come to the point where she doesn't have anybody except one friend. However, well, that's where we stand on it. Almost
sounds like, I would imagine that in certain cases, I mean, rarely, it's not a Hollywood movie where it's, one simple session of exorcism and things are magically resolved. It takes time. And the more time that occurs between sessions, the more openings that you have. And in this case, it seems like, it was just, there were so many chinks in the armor that, mm-hmm. After a session, she would go back home, which still was wide open, and she just fell back into whatever pit that she has, begun to consume her to begin with.
You know, and that's another point that I just remembered that I failed to bring up. No, it is not one and done sometimes, probably most of the time, but you got to be willing to come too. If we meet today, and we set up a meeting next Monday, I expect you to be there next Monday, not wait 3 weeks so things get bad again and then come back.
Right.
And so I was dealing with that too. It was so inconsistent. It's hard to keep things in order.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, I will say a prayer, and not that I'm thinking it will have any effect, but it certainly can't hurt any, I guess you could say.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Southern Demonology. Find us online at southerndemonology.com, which offers links to all of our social media and episodes. Southern Demonology is solely owned, produced, and edited by myself, and the intro and outro music are composed by me as well. If you have a moment, please rate, like, and share this podcast, as it is the best way to help support my work. As always, I am JJ, and it has been a pleasure to speak to you today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.